Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. You load them up. We'll get to you as soon as your names are inputted, and I can see the subjects on the call screener. To fill that time, we start with opening thoughts with Maz and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz, you want to go first?
Sure, yeah, I'll absolutely go first. And I'm going to start with Richard Sherman. Since we left this program yesterday, Aqib Talib was dealt to the Rams. Sherman has been released by the Seahawks. Richard Sherman is now out there, and here's what I would say to the Patriots. Don't dink around. Sign the guy. What are you waiting for? It feels to me like the Patriots are getting beat to the punch with everybody out there already.
And because he's released, they can sign him any time, right?
Correct.
They don't have to wait for... The league year starts Wednesday. They don't have to wait.
Correct. So in the case of Michael Bennett, the Patriots get into it late. Fine. You missed him. The Patriots wanted Aqib Talib. Aqib Talib wanted the Patriots. He got traded to the Rams. They didn't get him either. Now there's another deal today. The Eagles acquired a cornerback from the Panthers and sent Torrey Smith there. Marcus Peters was already dealt to the Rams earlier in the offseason. So I weigh out all of this stuff and I say, where are the Patriots on these moves? All these guys are changing positions. All these defensive backs are changing teams, rather. They clearly have a need there, given the issues they had with Butler. So now Sherman's out there. You're going to miss on him too? Go get Richard Sherman, quit dinking around, and get the guy you need. And he should fit here on a short-term arrangement at the very least. It shouldn't cost a ton of money up front because of the Achilles injury. Use that to your advantage. If you don't get Sherman, I'm starting to wonder really about what they're doing here. If all these cornerbacks are changing teams and the Patriots don't have any of them.
Jim Murray.
With yet another game winner from Brad Marchand last night, with the way that this Bruins team keeps winning in the face of adversity, just as of late in the last couple of weeks, obviously. Bergeron hurt, McAvoy hurt, your back is suspended, Tuukka Rask hurt, maybe, or needed a gut check, something going on there. You also have Rick Nash not getting a point in the last three games. With all of that going on, this team keeps winning, keeps on winning. Buy in. You should buy in. The both of you. I know you two have a... You know, you have a penchant for negativity here, and you can doubt, and I know the unpredictability of the NHL playoffs. There's an it factor with this team. I heard Beadle talking about it earlier this week. Start to see it. I mean, again, even last night. Like, I don't know how you can't see it. Like, this team's going to give you, I will say this, we don't make these kind of proclamations on the show, this team's going to give you at least two rounds. They're going to go deep this postseason. I don't know how you can't see it. I don't know how you can't feel it. There is there's a tangible it factor with this Bruins team this year. With everything going on, they just keep on winning. With Bergeron, since Bergeron's been out, 5-0, it's ridiculous. What's Marchand have? 7 points in his last five games. It's insane. They're deep. They're well coached. They're going to go deep this year. Not saying they're going to win the cup, but they will give us at least a couple of rounds. It's going to be a fun spring. So to the both of you, buy in. This Bruins team is going to give us a good spring.
Okay, just following up on the Bruins, my opening take is on the Backes hit and the suspension and the fallout from it. Is the three-game Backes suspension going to ruin the game and pussify the game, Mass?
No.
It sets a bad precedent.
Because there's a lot of good hockey people who feel it has. Fluto Shinzawa, chief among them in the Boston Globe.
I think it was already there.
Says over-legislating that kind of hit is taking physicality out of the game, which is helping to ruin the game. Do you agree or disagree?
Does Fluto what? Physicality's out of the game. It's gone. It's been gone for a while. Watch the game. Nobody gets hit anymore. I mean, again, this is the hit that ended it? Please. It was out a long time ago.
It's not the hit, it's the suspension. It's taking $100,000 out of David Backes' pocket, and so the next time someone wants to line someone up along the boards, he's going to think twice, and he'll take that hit out of the game. If not necessarily that hit, those like it, physical hits along the board, and that suspension's going to help, you know, wussify the game.
I absolutely agree. It is about that suspension. He should have gotten knocked a game. When I saw it, okay, I figured he'd get something. A game. But three? That's insane. And a guy his size, or a guy like Rick Nash's size, even though he's not that much of as big of a bruiser as Backes has been throughout his career, to take away that physicality from a player like that, yeah, that can help. Looking at that, that's going to help ruin the NHL.
Okay, more on this coming up. 617-779-0985. As expected, you're locked and loaded and ready to go. So we go to you in the opening segment on Fridays. Cam and Taunton lead us off today with the Celtics thought.
You saw it last night and you saw it last week against Houston. If this team can get some consistent secondary scoring from Morris or Monroe or someone like that, if Kyrie's having an off night, then this team, I think, is the favorite in the East, and that includes Toronto. Because that's the biggest question, is their scoring off the bench and their secondary scoring if they lock down Kyrie or if Kyrie has an off night. If Morris is playing like this, I think they're going to the finals.
So the key to getting to the finals is their bench. Agree or disagree?
No.
I disagree. To me, I don't know. I didn't watch a ton of it last night. I flipped over after the Bruins. It feels like the Timberwolves closed when the Celts had their bench in there. And then Kyrie Irving and Al Horford came back in the game and spread it back out, and they won going away.
They opened it up earlier in the game, though, with their bench on the floor. Morris and Smart did give them a jolt earlier in the game. And I think that those guys make them a better team. But I think come playoff time, you're going to...
It's about your stars.
Of course it is. Yeah, it's really going to be... To me, it's more about Tatum and Brown.
And Horford.
And Horford. Yes, I shouldn't leave him out. You're right about that. It's about those guys giving Kyrie a support system than more than it is Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart. To me, it's more about those guys. They got to get secondary scoring from the players immediately behind Kyrie, or they're cooked.
Okay, folks, and in case you're wondering, that is Tony Maserati there in the Maz chair, stealing a little bit of a throat issue. Continue to your phones. Matt in Westfield on the Pats. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm just curious about the Sherman thing. I mean, I know it looks like a good idea on paper, and it's a big name and everything, but don't you think Belichick would just love him? You know, he's a defensive guy, he's a heck of a player, and wouldn't that entice Belichick to stick around for a little while and kind of, create a little riff with McDaniels?
Well, the second thing, riff with McDaniels, what? Would Richard Sherman entice Bill to stay? No, I do not think so. I think there's only one thing that would have enticed Bill to stay longer than he normally would have.
Quarterback.
And that guy's gone. Right. And if anything, the way it all went down, it's incentive for him to leave earlier than he normally would have. Okay, so I don't think Sherman tips the scales there for him staying or going, or creating any rift with McDaniels, whatever the hell that meant. I am beginning to wonder, Maz. You hear Zoe earlier today talking about the market for Nate Solder?
Yeah, he tweeted some of it last night. I saw it last night.
Okay, so Scott Zolak said today on the radio that he's hearing from sources close to the situation. I don't know how he phrased it, but sources. That there are at least two teams out there, good teams with a lot of money, that are willing to go to $13, $14 million a year for Nate Solder. I told you that they love Nate Solder, they need Nate Solder, I want them to keep Nate Solder, his number is going to be ridiculous.
Okay, so if those teams go to 13 or 14 and the Patriots go to 12, will he stay?
Yeah, and I think we're missing the key question. How much upfront money is he going
to get? Okay, so, I mean, to me, that's sort of, like, that's built into that discussion. Like, there's got to be guaranteed money, no question about it.
Okay, if it's 14 a year with 28 guaranteed, half it guaranteed, the Pats aren't going to match that.
Okay, what if it's 12 a year with 20 guaranteed?
Maybe. I mean, I just think there's a line in there somewhere, and 14's over it. 12 a year or 20 guaranteed? I don't even know if they'll do that.
Okay, then good for them. Let them go and go find yourself a left tackle. Good luck with that one.
And look, I'm not endorsing it. I'm just telling you. What's becoming clear is the landscape out there. There's a lot of money out there. Some teams have a lot of money. A lot of money. And if a guy like Nate Solder, I mean, we gave it to you, he's a top five free agent on the market. It's hard to believe he's a top five free agent on the market if you take out the quarterbacks. And so this is a long way of getting back to Richard Sherman. Yeah, you should get him at a discount because of his Achilles. You should get him at a discount because of his age. You should get him at a discount because he wants to be here and rehabilitate and get a ring and all of that. But what if three or four teams come in and pay him real money? You're not going to give him a real contract, are you? You're going to give him a make-good contract. So as much as I want Richard Seymour, as much as that makes sense, I'm beginning to worry about that too. That they won't be in the running for that. We continue. Jeff in Pittsfield on the Pats. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I'm just concerned about Bill Belichick's arrogance. I believe it supersedes the talent on that team. He's forever getting rid of our great players. He's forever sitting in the Super Bowl, one of our best opportunities to win. A couple of years ago when we go down to Miami, he decides not to play because we can beat Denver. It's about people, not where. That's what he said. And we get beat in Denver. I just think Belichick is too arrogant for what talent we have on the team.
Okay. I think that's fair. I mean, people mistake the arrogance thing. Like when you call him arrogant, you think that means he's rude at the podium and so he's arrogant. Or he walks into a restaurant like he owns a place. Like that's not what you mean when you say arrogant. Or when I mean it, with him, it's overconfidence.
Overplaying your hand.
Yeah. Or just overdoing your leverage, if you will. I mean, it's true. I don't know if that was born out of arrogance a couple of years ago, but that Patriots team felt they could beat anyone anywhere. So they just slapped it out there the last couple of weeks. And that was a gross miscalculation, a gross overestimation of what they were capable of. And maybe the Butler thing's similar.
It is.
We can win this game with or without this kid.
It's totally similar. It's born of the same flaw. It's totally born from the same flaw that Bill thinks he can win in spite of some of the other stuff. And in both cases, he was wrong. You could argue that he's cost them two Super Bowls in the last 3 years.
So I'm curious about the, but he also got him there two of the last 3 years. But I mean, yeah, so that arrogance, quote unquote, or whatever word you want to use, has cost them. And I just wonder, with the last minute retention of Josh McDaniels and just the climate and the weird year they're coming off of, if there's going to be stronger checks and balances down there on Belichick. And I don't know how we'll ever know. If we'll ever know, we certainly won't know in real time. But if behind the walls, you know, if there's stronger checks and balances with Belichick this offseason into next year. We are off and running on Agenda Free Friday. Back to you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
25 seconds left. Far point. Chara shoots. And Lyon, the same rebound. Whacked out. They score! The Bruins keep the puck in. Brad Marchand with a couple of whacks at it at the far post. And Brad Marchand able to pump it through the legs and find the back of the net. 3-2 Bruins with 22 seconds left.
How do you not buy in?
Especially right now, because they got enough cushion that they don't have to worry about losing home ice to Toronto. They're also not going to catch Tampa, I feel like, so you don't have to worry about the albatross of the President's Trophy. They have the luxury of being able to rest guys here. You can trust Anton Khudobin. Like, there's just, with all these guys being hurt and the way that they keep winning in the face of all this adversity, like I mentioned, with all these injuries as of late, like, I don't know, I think you mentioned yesterday, right? Like, with Bergeron and McAvoy, they come back as we expect them to. It's almost a silver lining. Like, it's a good thing that they're going to be able to rest over this month, and you'll have them ready and fresh for the playoffs.
I've always said, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, skill, will, and goaltending. The goaltending can still be a question mark.
Sure.
I think, but...
But if you play Khudobin more here down the stretch...
But look, I'm just going through it. Do they have the talent? Close. With the way they're playing, it's close. They're close to having the talent. They definitely have that will thing. They definitely do. There's no question that the way they play and the way they compete... The way they come back from bad games or bad periods, they're relentless. They're tremendous. And I love the way they stand up physically. You know, it's not a fighting league anymore. But did you see Gianta go at Wayne Simmons last night at the end of the first period? Like, that's tremendous little stuff. Gianta's given away 75 pounds. I don't know. Like, Gianta's just a little fella. And Simmons got in his face at the end of the period. And not that they're going to fight, but Gianta doesn't skate away. He doesn't turn around. He doesn't wait for someone to get in between them. It's like an NBA thing. Like, you know, he acts all... No. He gets right in Simmons' face. I'm like, that's it. Like, so the team definitely has that thing, Murray. There's no question about it. In the second round is Tampa, who's I'm sorry, is still better than you. I'm saying, when I say better than you, I'm telling you their roster has more talent. And the goaltending's a wash. I don't know. Maybe their goaltender's better. Vasilevsky, I don't know.
If you want to go negative for a second, I mean, the shorthanded goal that Rask gave up last night to make it 2-2. Oh, Jesus. Like, what are you doing, buddy?
Can't give up that goal.
I'm just being practical.
Yeah.
If it's Tampa in the second round, they have more talent in the skaters. The goaltending is even. And so the way you're playing, I would give you that, you know, I would say you definitely have a harder edge to you. And the way that you're playing and competing gives you a good chance in that series. But they're a better team. So what, like, how can I be overconfident?
You shouldn't be overconfident. You don't have to apologize for the fact that Tampa's a better team. Like, look, the Bruins should just
more talented team.
Yes, make a run. That's all. And a run to me is go deep into the second round, make it a series. Whatever happens after that happens. But if they lose in the first round and lose in like five games, oh, that would be a disaster. Disaster.
You know, and Murray, you said. Rick Nash without a point in three games.
But he was good last night.
I didn't even realize it, but boy, is he big on the puck or what? Man, when he gets the puck, that is just, he is strong on the puck. And what a difference. Like, they have no one like him. A lot of teams don't have anyone like that. I mean, that.
There is a wow factor to it, especially when you see him live. Like, he's just a moose.
Oh, he's huge. And he gets the puck beneath the goal line. It's those spin moves out from the goal line and just the way he A-frames and wards people off. Like, that is it's sort of neat how that second line is totally different than your first line. Marchand and Bergeron and, you know, it's Riley Nash now and Pasternak. They're quick and fast and up and down the ice. The second line and Krejci sort of slow down a little bit and Nash is just physically dominant. Like, they've got a nice little contrast in styles there on those two lines. Nash, to me, has been a pleasure to watch, whether he's scoring or not. Vic in Virginia on the Patriots. Back to the phones. Hi, Vic.
How you doing, guys? I just want to get your thoughts on if Patricia signs Butler in the offseason. What do you guys think on that?
So Zoe's mentioned this a couple times in the midday. Patricia can't. He won't. Patricia's too much of a bobo for Belichick to now go sign Malcolm Butler. And if Patricia signs Malcolm Butler, isn't that just outing Bill to the world? That was all Bill, and it had nothing to do with, it wasn't a sound decision. I still like this kid. We value this kid. We're going to pay this kid. Like, isn't that a total indictment on Belichick?
Completely.
And you think Patricia's the guy to give that indictment? No way.
I'd be shocked if he did it. It would tell us a lot, though. It really would. It would tell us a lot.
Have the Lions been linked to Butler? Or is that just...
I haven't seen or heard that.
I think
Zoe was speculating.
Right. I would be stunned if Patricia did that. Pat in the car on the back is hit. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. I just want to give Marshy and Attaboy for all these winning goals he's been getting. Unbelievable. But, as far as back as it goes, it was a joke. I'm with you guys. Maybe a game, fine him, whatever. Three games is just way too much. I mean, Marshian's getting called for penalties last night that he's not even committing. Falls down, slips, and ducks so he doesn't get run over. They throw him in the box. Takes a hook in or a flashing penalty, and I don't even think he touched the guy. And I know it's his reputation gets him it, but... it's just too much. The league's just going backwards, and they're slipping in a hurry.
Yeah, I could really tell in the Nesson commentary last night, like, I think Jack and Burke just, Tommy Heinsohn has gone into the booth. It's just gotten ridiculous. Like, this thing with Marshan last night. I mean, yes, it was a bad call, but it's, like, the outrage.
See, I have no compassion for him.
Zero. I still think it was sneaky dirty. And they were just going on this little Marshan sort of... This Marshan, he's a changed man, and Brad Marshan, the league's out to get him, and he's unfair. And then Marshan clips a guy, immediately after going this thing about Marshan, he clipped the guy, and yeah, he was down and he was protecting himself, but I can't trust that guy farther than I can throw him.
No, if he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt, which is what they were talking about during the broadcast, whose fault is that?
He shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt.
But if he doesn't get it, whose fault is it?
His.
Of course, it's his. Don't get suspended 8 times and do dirty rat things and you won't get busted on that one.
There's no one who doles out more low-bridge clip hits than Brad Marchand. He's made a career off of it. So a guy goes down on a low-bridge hit that's sort of bang-bang, you blame the ref?
It's his fault.
Of course it is.
It's entirely his fault.
That's embarrassing to rip a ref over a bang-bang call against Marchand. Marchand, who's doled out more of those dangerous, cheap, low-bridge hits than any player in the league. And so there's a close one. And, the ref doesn't give him the benefit of the doubt. No crap. I wouldn't either. And I'm glad he got rung up for embellishing, too. That happened. I guess he did that in the Pittsburgh game. Was that the play behind the net?
Yes, I remember it. He deserved it.
So, yeah, deserve it. Good.
He got called for a penalty on that play on top of
it. He did, absolutely. But we got Matthew in Framingham on the Celts. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good,
hey,
man.
Murray, I'm with what you said. It's looking good for the Bruins, and I'm starting to get on board. I mean, the score didn't even match what that game looked like last night. They had possession of the puck, it seemed like, the whole game. And, ever since Belichick's ego put me in a depression, it's just good to see the Bruins and, of course, the Celtics now, since the All-Star break, breaking out and starting to separate from the pack. And I think a lot of that with the Celtics has to do with Marcus Smart. And, I've been saying that for over a year and a half. For all you Rozier guys, you don't know basketball. Marcus Smart, watch him. When he's on defense, if there's a mismatch, he switches. He'll take the big guy. I hope Houston makes it to the finals. I know I'm saying a lot, but I hope Houston makes it to the finals because we have a matchup. They have a matchup problem against us.
You can beat Houston. There's no question you can beat Houston. If Houston makes the finals, you could win the championship. Honestly, because I think just, and for one of those reasons, Smart matching up mostly against Harden, but even, Chris Paul. I think
part of that matchup is Hart. You'll get more out of the Celtics than a lot of the Houston Rockets.
No question.
Houston's not getting to the finals. Don't worry about
it. No chance. Exactly right. But again, our most authentic Boston accent there on Felger and Maz, Matthew in Framingham. The Marcus Smart thing, I hope that this little sequence proved to people the value of Smart v. Rozier. I hope it just showed you and that ends that argument. If the Celtics are going to have to choose between one of the two players or pay one of the two players, etc., Smart should be staying and Rozier should be going. Have you changed your mind on that, Maz? Are you still Rozier?
No, I'm leaning Rozier, but Smart, since he came back from the injury, has been good.
I mean, you see it. You just see...
No, there's no question. I mean, his impact on these games since he's come back has been significant. And so, look, I told you, if he could ever shoot consistently, forget it. You'd have a sixth man. I mean, he'd be a star. He'd be a star in the league. But he's got the body to impact games in a lot of different ways that Rozier can't.
Kevin in Rhode Island with the Bruins thought. Hi, Kevin.
How are you?
Good.
Just want to touch on Tuukka Rask.
Yep.
Last night, as you guys know, he let up a weak goal, and most of the goals that he lets up are on rebounds. And I just don't know, for $7 million a year, if he's worth it. What do you think you should do with him?
Well, let's find out. If he wins you some rounds, and you go deep, and he's a big reason why, then he's worth the money. If he's not, and they don't, I mean, if they don't, and he doesn't play well, if he's, you know, he hasn't won, he didn't play well in that Ottawa series last year. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't. It's not like he carried you in that series, like goaltending has to from time to time. Let's see. It's a big one for him. There's no excuse. He's rested. He's gotten his blows, his rest, because Hudobin's been good. He's got good decor in front of him. He's got a good team in front of him playing great. He's had a great year. No excuses. He's healthy. So go out and play well and outperform these goalies. Outperform Frederik Andersen in the first round. Outperform Vasilevskiy in the second round. And even if they lose, if he's a better goalie, I'll give it to him. But let's see. And they're going to do nothing to him. He's here. If they were ever going to blow out Tuukka and move on from that, it would have been in that sort of transition stage we were in the last couple of years. Now they're back to being a contender, and they're not going to move the goalie. The goal last night, I'm not going to get on him that badly.
That goal can't get through, Mike.
It's a bad goal. So he makes one mistake? You know, otherwise he was really good. So, I mean, in the playoffs, you really can't make that one mistake a lot of nights. So, fair enough. But it's not like he was atrocious. He had one bad moment.
Let me ask you quickly, where do you think he is in the league in save percentage?
So he's probably dipped now. He was creeping up there. Now I'm going to guess now he's around 20.
15th. I mean, that puts him right in the middle. Right in the middle. Wouldn't you guess higher than that?
No, because the 2 years prior to this, he was in the low 20s. He hasn't been that great for a while. He just hasn't. He went on a good stretch here with the team.
But I'm talking about this year. He had a big run there in the middle.
Yeah.
And he's still in the middle of the pack.
Yes. Because that's more what he's been in the last 3-4 years than an elite guy. But he has elite moments and he has elite talent. And so I recognize that. Here it is. You and Frederik Andersen, you should be the better goalie in that series, and you should win. Let's see. Simple as that.
I mean, if you go goals against average, he's fourth. Okay?
That's more of a team stat. Save percentage, to me, is a better metric.
Exactly.
And then there's, if you want to play with your advanced stats, there's save percentage on scoring chances, which, you know, takes out just a can of corn save from the blue line. Now you go to save percentage on scoring chances. Where is he there? You could play around with it, and he's the save percentage stats have not been great for him for a while.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
A lot of people don't think that I can fight in the inside, but I had a surprise of Michonne. My grandma told me a long time ago I was anointed by God, and it shows each and every time. Now I can say there's no man that stepped in the ring that I haven't put on their ass, baby.
Heavyweight champion of the world, or at least, you know, partial heavyweight champion of the world, undefeated American fighter. We talked about that on Monday, his fight over the weekend against Louis Ortiz. It was a good night of boxing, a fun fight, and I think a fun division right now. And you can circle back to that if you like. We'll be talking about it in the coming weeks for sure, because Anthony Joshua, is it the 31st? Is that when he fights? So he fights on 31st against another undefeated guy, Kiwi, right?
Exactly right, Joseph Parker.
Joe Parker. You know, spice up that name a little bit.
Yeah. Kiwi Joe Parker.
Alias of Spider-Man.
I come up with something a little bit better than that. But anyway, so that's on the 31st. That's in Britain, though, right?
It is in Wales, yeah.
Okay, so
smoking Joe Parker.
What time are they going to fight? Like, is it going to be on a reasonable time here in the States? Or is it going to be like breakfast with smoking Joe Parker?
I got to imagine over there, it's like, what, 9, 10 o'clock at night? Which means it'll be on around dinner time here. You know, 4 or 5 o'clock, late afternoon. If it's live, it has to be, right?
That's dinner time for you.
Well, I'm saying the blue hairs.
So anyway, again, Agenda Free Friday.
I think Wales is a little west of London, right? So it might be a 5-hour difference, 4-hour difference.
Anything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, up to you. Pete in Delaware on Richard Sherman. Could he be headed to the Pats? How do you feel about it, Pete?
Hey, I agree with Matt. Every minute that goes by or hour that goes by, it's going to get dicey because there are a lot of teams in on him. Where you read the Niners, the Raiders, the Chargers. He's from Compton. He fits the Niners scheme. They got a ton of money. New England's got to pounce on him. If he's around, every hour that goes by, I think New England's, I don't know. I think, like, you got to pounce on him now if they want him.
Okay, I agree. But if it comes down to, like, a competitive offer, I think they're porked.
They're in trouble.
They're porked because you look at, you know, the teams, and I'm just trying to look up the money situation that ESPN report the other day, but San Francisco has a boatload of money. They have a ton of money, and they're, you know, they're rehabbing their team. They're rehabilitating their team. And Sherman, as you do know, went to Stanford. So that's something of a homecoming for him. And let me ask you this. Does Richard Sherman not make sense as being a Raider? Doesn't he feel like a Raider to you?
He's perfect there.
He's a perfect Raider.
So the only thing, if you're the Patriots, the only thing you can sell him on is, hey, look, we can get you back to the big game. Okay, we can get you back there, and you've already made almost $50 million in salary.
Well, right. So the aura and the institutionalized excellence. But hasn't that kind of taken a hit here in the last month?
Has it?
I mean, it has locally, but, you know, players talk, right? So if this Butler thing is more than meets the eye, and maybe it was just, you know, out of spite that Bill didn't put him in, and if you're a player as heady as Richard Sherman, I don't know. I'd maybe think twice, like, wait a minute, what were you thinking there?
I do not think that that gets held against the Pats.
See, I feel the opposite. I've been reasonably encouraged. What was the who had the report yesterday? Again, Rappaport, that part of the reason the Patriots weren't on Michael Bennett is because Martellus and Michael wanted to be together in New England?
And they wanted to be here. Yeah, here.
Like, so that I heard that and went, well, that's a good sign.
Let me tell you, Murray, I think Bill has some air to clear in his own locker room on that, on the Butler thing. But I think a player coming from another team, it really comes down to two things almost always. What are you going to pay me, and how are you going to play me? And then, you know, do you have a chance to win? Right? Like, that's obviously a factor. Is it a place I can win, and am I going to get the stage? Am I going to be on the field, and what are you going to pay me? And if you can meet those three criteria, it really doesn't matter what you do to the guys before, because everyone always thinks, well, that'll never happen to me. It's not going to influence. You know, you just don't think that way. But, I mean, when you look at teams with space, I mean, 49ers, for whatever this is worth, had $66 million in salary cap space. The Houston Texans have $62 million in salary cap space. No state income tax in Texas, right? I mean, we mentioned, I don't know where the Raiders are. I'm looking for them. They don't have a ton of room, so the Raiders may not have the space. But there's a lot of money out there. And if it's a thing where you've got to match a contract, I don't know, man. Speaking of which, Tony and Lowell on Nate Solder. Go ahead, Tony.
All right, guys. Nate Solder basically needs to get signed. It's not even a question about it. In the draft, you are not going to draft somebody to protect the blind side of your 41-year-old quarterback, first of all. There's nobody in free agency. I understand he's going to cost money. But if you already chose Brady and not keeping Garoppolo as the 10-year plan, now you have to go get your 8-year veteran left tackle and protect that quarterback.
Feels that way. The Solder thing to me, I will admit, came out of nowhere because I should spend more time on the offensive line. I just don't. I leave that up to Bedard and, you know, the experts. And I only mention it when it really sucks and you can tell your quarterback's getting pounded. Other than that, do the offensive line on your own time. And maybe that's why I don't focus on Solder. Because for the most part, you know, he does the job. For the most part, he's not a glaring hole on your team. And so, fine. Bedard can give him whatever grade he wants. And his contract, I knew his contract was up. But I'm just like, okay, he's an older guy. You'll get him at a discount rate. He'll play one or two more years. And that's not going to be it. No. He's only 30. I thought he was a little older. And he's going to be one of the top free agents on the board. And Scott Zolak reported last night, this morning, that there are a couple of teams out there that have a lot of money and are really interested in Nate Solder. And that number may be $13, $14 million a year.
If the Patriots get close and he leaves, don't you think that's a bad sign?
Yeah, well, let's wait.
He's got every reason to stay.
Yeah, well, don't you think he would stay if it were close?
I'd like to think that, but that's what I'm saying. I'm sort of laying it out there ahead of time. If they're close and he leaves, what does that tell you?
We'll have a good show on that. No question about it. I think if they're close, he stays. Like, that's the whole thing. And Zoe said that as well. He wants to stay. And there's a lot of reasons for him to stay. But again, the Niners, I mean, they're loading up. They got a ton of room, and they got Jimmy Garoppolo sitting there. And how's their left tackle situation?
Well, you mentioned Houston has a ton of money. They traded Dwayne Brown to Seattle.
Thank you. They have
a young quarterback coming off after a catastrophic knee injury. I would think that'd be a good spot for him.
And was Bill O'Brien obviously coached him? Obviously was part of the. So that's another one. So I mean, if Zoe said there were two teams, Houston, San Fran. And doesn't that just feel like those are the two natural places?
Yep.
We've got Michael in Medford on boxing. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, Michael, you mentioned earlier that during the week that you and your dad used to go to the boxing matches over on the theater, the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, the closed circuit.
Yeah, Exactly, those little tiny black and white screens. But right now, I wanted your opinion on the Hagler-Sugar Ray-Leonard fight, because after that was over, we watched in Rockingham, and we thought he lost mostly because of the national exposure that Sugar Ray Leonard got, not so much the fight.
Okay, so I'm happy to do boxing, but we're going to go back 30 years now, and that Hagler got robbed.
He did. He got jobbed.
But, and that I definitely saw at a VFW hall on closed circuit. Like, I remember that one, I think. Was that it, or was that a show? I mean, I used to go all the time on those, remember when we used to do that when we were kids? Leonard was a flashier guy, and he impressed the judges. He was a more popular guy, a more polished guy, a flashier guy, and he would, in that fight, like, wasn't one of the fights where he'd always wait till, like, the last 30 seconds of the round and then put on a show for the judges, and whatever lasts in your mind sort of sticks in your mind, and he got the scores.
Yeah, he would throw a lot of punches that did absolutely nothing. Damage,
right?
And it looked good, and they would fall for it. He was, I mean, and look, he was a great fighter. I'm not telling you, Sugar Ray, great boxer. And, you know, the win he had over Duran, not to, like, relive the past, when he took Duran out in the 14th round in a fight that he had no choice but to go for a knockout, great fight.
The point is that division, and I don't know if they're all technically in the same division, but they all fought each other. Hearns, Hagler, Duran, Leonard. That's back when those middle divisions delivered. Now I keep getting sold all these middle division fights by the fighting people. You tell me to watch Canelo Alvarez. You tell me to watch Triple G. You tell me to watch Mayweather. You tell me to watch this guy. You tell me to watch that guy. And I watch these fights, and they all pretty much suck. So, like, that's a big part. That's a big hole in boxing as well. So that's why I'm desperate for these heavyweights.
You don't want points. You want violence.
I want fellas going down. I want someone getting hurt. And the heavyweights, these last couple fights I've watched, the refs have let it go too far. Like, I'm like, that they should not have let Ortiz get up from that last knockdown. No, and the fight before that, poor Bernard Stiverne or whatever his name is, that guy was on Planet Zippy and they let the thing go. I'm like, this is awesome. Thank you. This is why I watch this. And it's the middle divisions, it's like, no one gets hurt, no one goes down. And that's, you know, that wasn't the way it used to be. That division used to be great.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown out. Two-way slam gets undercut by Wiggins and lands hard on the back of his neck.
Oh, my goodness.
And Jaylen Brown is stunned right now. Everybody races off the bench. A terrifying-looking fall.
It looked like it was not as much on the neck part. It looked like it might have been more on the shoulder blades. Al Horford is sitting down with him. I saw him just kind of blink his eyes. So hopefully he's going to get up. Sometimes you get the wind knocked out of you. He is right now in a position where he is just sitting.
Now Jaylen Brown is up. On his own power.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens is actually able to walk away, and we're watching Jaylen Brown. He is walking to the back.
I mean, and that, Sean, and he now puts his hands up to the crowd and waves at them. The crowd gives him a nice response. But this is the most scariest thing in the world. And I've told people this 1,000 times. Is you come to the arena walking in, and they're carrying you out. At the end, that is just scary.
There's nothing I hate more than when someone goes down and they don't move. You're sitting there watching, like, move, move. Just let me see your feet. Just do something, and then I'm fine. But the paralysis thing is just I get sick. I get a pit in my stomach whenever there's one of those incidents and someone goes down. He was moving pretty early. Like, you could see his feet moving. So it's like, okay, that was nasty, but at least he's going to walk out of here. You know, it's the Ryan Shaziers and those where they never move. It's like, oh, God, the worst.
You don't even want to watch. You know, obviously you want to know that the guy's going to be okay, but it's tough. I heard it. Now that I've seen it, now that he's okay, I feel okay in saying it. He has nobody to blame but himself. What are you doing hanging on the rim? I'm surprised this doesn't happen more.
Did Wiggins really undercut him? Because I don't remember seeing that in the clips that I've seen. I don't remember him getting, quote-unquote, undercut.
No. I didn't see anything cheap about it or an undercut.
Not that I remember.
I thought he had just so much momentum, and when he tried to brace himself on the rim, he slipped off of it.
Exactly.
Well, they're all, like, it feels like hanging on the rim is allowed again in the league. Remember, Everyone used to do it, and then they came out. And
it's to balance yourself.
They really cracked down, and then they allowed for, well, you're allowed to hang on the rim if you think someone's underneath you to protect yourself, and I think these players abuse it. I think they're all hanging on the rim now.
Well, that's basically what happened, yeah. I mean, he slid off. He tried to hang there, and he slid off, and it completely flipped him over. Max is right, though. He landed more on his shoulder than he did on his
exactly.
neck.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's.
I mean, he got lucky there. And then once he sat up, I thought, wow. I mean, you know, in that league, you know, usually they err on the side of caution for sprained ankles with Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart got the backboard for a mildly sprained ankle.
But it was, you know, you see a guy flip like that and land on his head. It's, you know, how do you not hold your breath?
So I guess because we were a TNT game last night, we can't run the video on the simulcast. But either way, I don't remember the undercut. Oh, here we go.
No, he didn't get undercut.
He wasn't undercut. What's Sean talking about? Where's the undercut? Is 22 Wiggins? He put his hand on him.
No, no, there's no undercut there.
There's no one. That's not even close.
Brown did that to himself.
Yeah, no, that's, and I think, but it's hard for me to blame him. I mean, I feel like a lot of these guys are now, it's sort of, it's a little bit of the style point thing. I think a lot of guys are doing it. But maybe,
Well, when I say he did it to himself, that came out wrong. I mean that his, you know, there was no one pushed him. It was his momentum. He propelled his own body. He grabbed the rim and his legs flipped.
Yeah, I get the sense he won't be doing that much anymore. Just, I don't know, call me crazy, because 1 inch this way or that way, and maybe it's not such a happy ending. So we can talk about the Celtics. It's a Jennifer Friday, everything on the board. So here's a Tyler in Nashua on the Richard Sherman stuff. Hi, Tyler. You want him?
Yeah, I'd love him. What do you guys think would be a good number to offer him? And if it doesn't work out, what do you think about going after Tyrann Mathieu from the Cardinals?
I'm glad you brought up Tyrann Mathieu. First of all, Richard Sherman. Let's say just pure value of the player, Maz, not including what the market is and how he's bid up. What would be a reasonable deal for Richard Sherman?
Offer him half of what he made last year, which is $5 million, you know, five and a half, and then allow him to make at least that much back and even more in incentives based on availability or being on the active roster.
Good.
Something like that. Like, I believe it or not, I actually spent some energy thinking about that. Like, you know, because he's a hard case. The upside there is huge. Huge. And he's got enough, you know, time in the league and credit in the league where you can't just go to him and say, we'll give you the veteran minimum of, you know, $1 million or whatever the hell the number is.
I was looking something up, so forgive me if you just said this. Did you say what he made last year?
Yeah.
It was 11.
Yeah, so I said half of that to start.
Okay, so, right. I would give him, I think that's exactly right. With a chance, and what I would just do is playing time. You know, just games played. If he plays all 16 games, he gets his money that he made last year, maybe even a little more. And for me, it would be a one-year deal, which is incentive for him to make what he made last year if he plays. And he doesn't have to play every game. 14 of the 16 games, whatever. If he is a regular for you, however you define that, he makes what he made last year, and then he's a chance to become a free agent next year with no... And again, if you said this again, I was looking something
no,
up.
No, it's fine. So as long as he's not injured, he should get his money.
Don't hit me with the hosts aren't listening. And also a promise not to franchise him. Right? Like, that would be a fair deal. Here's the problem. What if San Francisco comes up and says, here's 2 years and $36 million guaranteed?
Well, then he's going to go there.
2 years, 36, and no playing time incentives. Here's two, you know. And I just, with all the teams out there, with all the money... I think he might, even with the injury question, might get that kind of deal, and now you've got a match.
So you just have to appeal to his competitiveness, and that's where you say, well, look, we can't do that. We can't compete with that. But if you want to play here, you want to play with Brady, and you're healthy, you'll make your money, you'll get to the Super Bowl, and then you hit the market again.
Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, the safety in Arizona. Jimmy Stewart wrote this to us this morning. Bob Soucy tweeted this last night. I take it seriously because Soucy doesn't tweet often. Here was Soucy's tweet, quote, obviously a lot of attention paid to Sherman's situation in Seattle. Another worth mentioning, or worth watching, is in Arizona, Tyrann Mathieu. Pats did a lot of work on him out of LSU, versatile as a safety slash nickel corner for the Cardinals. Here's what Belichick said about him in 2016. Yeah, a very productive player, very athletic, loves football, competes hard, and he's a tough kid. He'll strike you for his size. He's not a big imposing player, but he plays with good physicality and toughness. He likes football. Yeah, he was impressive. So Soucy throwing out the Tyrann Mathieu thing. And again, I think I would take Soucy seriously too, because he's hardly going to be a bomb thrower when it comes to this stuff. I would take Mathieu. If you don't get Sherman, if you don't get Tlaib, which you won't, and you bring on Matt, Fine. Talent. Bring me talent, Murray.
Oh, I love him. He is such a ball hawk.
Is he a free agent?
No, it's one of these salary things. They're going to cut him and save like $9 million on the cap.
So he hasn't officially been released yet?
Correct. And he's been weed-free, from what I understand, for like 5 years, too. So if that's a concern, he's a clear-thinking Tyrann Mathieu, too.
Not my issue. Not my issue. The issue is talent. Talent on that defense.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.